You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Iceberg to Go, your daily dose of Pittsburgh Penguins news and analysis. You can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins or anywhere you get your podcast from. And before we get into today's podcast, a quick call to action, as we'll do over the next week and a half. We're doing a Jaromir Jagr bobblehead giveaway. If you want to get in on the action, want to get an opportunity to win one of these Jagr bobbleheads, all you have to do is subscribe to us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins, screenshot that proof of subscription, and post it under our pinned tweet at Iceberg Podcast on Twitter. And if you want a second entry, just leave a five-star review on Apple or Spotify. Same thing. Screenshot that. Post it under the pinned tweet. And the winner will be selected next Tuesday, April 30th, on our Tuesday live stream. So get in on your opportunity for one of those Jagr bobbleheads. But let's get into some Pittsburgh Penguins hockey. Obviously, last week, season comes to an end, which means you get the locker room clean out, which means you get Mike Sullivan's end of the year presser. And it also means you get Kyle Dubas' end-of-the-year press conference. The president and general manager of the Penguins concluding his first season as Penguins general manager and president of hockey operations. And he talked for about 40-plus minutes about an array of topics, including some of the younger Penguins that he expects to push for a roster spot next year. He talked a little bit about Sidney Crosby's contract. But the one thing that was a continued piece of conversation, or at the very least, it was kind of a theme going through that entire press conference, was when discussing a few players that had failed to meet expectations this season, Kyle Dubas offered a similar response for a lot of them. And that's guys like Riley Smith, Tristan Jarry, Ryan Graves. And while he wasn't brought up, I would assume a player like Ricard Raquel gets thrown into that same boat, although Raquel did find his footing at the end of the season with Michael Bunting and Evgeny Malkin, which is probably why he wasn't brought up in the same conversations. But Smith, Jarry, and Ryan Graves were all brought up, and the response that Kyle Dubas had to those players and their season is he's looking for a bounce back. And in so many words, that's what he basically said. Now, he said that flat out about Riley Smith, said, I expect a bounce back season from him. But it's interesting, too, he grouped his two biggest free agent signings in Tristan Jarry and Ryan Graves under the same boat, saying, quote, how do they respond? They know how they perform this season. They know it's not up to the standard that they were expected when they signed those contracts last summer. How do they respond? Now, part of this is GM speak. Part of this is not, how do I want to put this? Part of this is not dunking on one of the players that you signed and two of the bigger names that you signed in your first year with the organization. He's not going to openly bash players at the end of your press conference. But from a team perspective, you should probably move on from one of Ricard Raquel or Riley Smith. I understand that he is hoping for a bounce back from Riley Smith. I understand that Ricard Raquel, as you saw at the end of the season, still has what he showed the year prior when he scored 25-plus goals for the Penguins, but $5 million each? Really? It's a roadblock for younger players, first and foremost. And secondly, you risk having the same issues this season where if both of them struggle out of the gate again next year, that's $10 million for two players that are struggling. That's what you had most of the season this year. Ricard Raquel didn't score a single goal in the first 17 games. Fortunately, that's when Riley Smith was at his best. And then from then on, Riley Smith completely out to lunch. He was injured, did miss some time as well. And Ricard Raquel had two decent stretches with the Penguins. The first one, when he initially came back and was playing with Sidney Crosby, I believe he had 5 goals in 5 or 6 games, a couple other assists, and then he kind of went dormant again until Michael Bunting came to the Penguins, and then he figured things out with Bunting and Malkin towards the tail end of the season. But for the majority of the season, that was $10 million on the salary cap that you were getting very little from. Right? Ricard Raquel and Riley Smith, they were bouncing them around the lineup just trying to find something that fit. Do you really run it back and expect to bounce back from both of them? And I think that's the biggest thing that I took away from this, that yes, it's obviously GM speak. He's obviously not going to say, well, we're trying to trade this guy this summer, so you know we're not happy with what he was, and we're going to try to trade him before July 1st. Like, they're not going to say that. I understand that. But at some point, you have to stop giving the same answer for everybody. Do you really expect to bounce back from 4 different players that you're paying a lot of money to? Because, yeah, it'd be nice if they all did. If Tristan Jarry showed that he could be at the top of his game for an entire season. If Riley Smith went back to being that golden misfit Riley Smith, where he scored nearly 30 goals en route to a Stanley Cup championship last season. Is it, you know, Ricard Raquel turning back into the guy that he was when he scored 50, 60 points in his first full season with the Penguins? Is it Ryan Graves playing at the top of his game, somebody that was actually one of the better pieces on the market last year? Yeah, it'd be great if they all turned into that. It's not a realistic option. It's not something that they're going to be able to rely upon. So, and I think it starts with Raquel or Smith. I think one of them should probably not be on the roster next year. Now, by which way does that happen? Who is the one that gets traded? That remains to be seen. It's probably easier to move a guy like Riley Smith going into a contract year than a guy like Ricard Raquel, who has 4 years remaining on that contract. But especially considering how much they've talked about wanting to get younger, wanting to give opportunities for these younger guys. And that's what I think Kyle Dubas had correct from very early on in his first season with the Penguins. Competition is very important. But when the competition is between a bunch of 30-plus-year-olds and the younger guys don't really get a fair shake, that's not what you want to see, right? Sam Poulin, it took entirely too long to get him up. And some of that was injuries, got in the way. I understand that. Valtteri Puustinen played half the season, but it still took 2 or 3 Vinny Hinostroza call-ups before they were able to go to Puustinen. There were a lot of roadblocks for the younger players, and the competition was between a lot of older players. If you're going to bring that competition back next year, it needs to be with that younger subset of players, that Ville Koivunen, the Vasily Ponomarevs, the potentially Braden Jaegers. He brought his name up and said, how do they assert themselves at the level that they're playing right now? At the WHL level, a guy like Tristan Broz, who was signed over the weekend to a 3-year ELC, he'll join the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins for their playoff run on a tryout agreement. So how do these guys get opportunities, and how much opportunity do you give them? That's based on how many guys you bring back and expect to bounce back from. Now, I get this is the top of the list, the Raquel and the Smith. That's the top of the list of the guys that you're looking to move on from or potentially move on from. But at the same time, you look at the top six, there's not a lot of open spaces, and you do need to make some changes because you missed the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. You can't keep running it back the same exact way. You have Crosby and Malkin set in stone. You have a guy like Brian Rust, top sixer. You have a guy like Michael Bunting, top sixer. You have a guy like Drew O'Connor, has earned the right to call himself a top six potential player next season. Is it best if the Penguins bring in somebody else and you get to put Drew O'Connor on the third line and get that out of a bottom six player? Yeah, I'd be the best. But at the same time, do you expect both Raquel and Riley Smith to bounce back? And are you willing to bet that with $10 million of the salary cap? That's the biggest question mark to me. And of course, we'll see how this offseason plays out. But I thought the repeated answer of, well, we'll see how they respond. How do they respond? That's what I'm looking for. And they'll bounce back. I expect a bounce back. To see that time in and time out, that just feels like, well, one, it feels like you're looking to get rid of one or a couple of these players. And two, it feels like you're setting yourself up for the fact that if you can't move on from these players, it's going to make you look bad in the long run. But hey, at the end of the day, that's his prerogative.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, Ryan Graves saying, "I don't think it's system related," is how Kyle Dubas responded when talking about Ryan Graves' performance. He said, "Eventually, you have to adapt. Adapting to the system is one thing. Adapting to players that don't really play a style that is going to be able to mesh with your style, that's a different thing. So this is not really system as much as it is fit. Does Ryan Graves turn things around and be able to fit with Erik Karlsson? Is he be able to turn things around and fit with Chris Letang? That's the question to me, because obviously Dubas brought up he has a lot of size. He needs to be able to use that size better. He needs to be a little bit better of a skater in his own zone, better movement. I think it's going to be interesting if he runs it back, and I think that that's one player that Kyle Dubas has been very open about continuing to give him an opportunity, and it's sounded for months now that he is planning on giving Ryan Graves another opportunity. How does that happen, right? What in his game needs to change for him to better assimilate to guys like Chris Letang and Erik Karlsson? Because we know the plan is always going to run through, especially on the blue line, the plan is always going to run through those two on the right side. But the worry that I have there is if you do bring back Ryan Graves, expect him to be better. Sure, but this defense was not good this year. As in totality, it wasn't just Ryan Graves. The defense itself was not good. Are you really going to bring back the top four and Graves, Pettersson, Karlsson, and Letang? Now, you could say Letang was injured most of the season, which is what we found out last weekend as well. Do you really bring those four back and expect substantial changes on the back end? Does a new defensive coach really turn those things around and turn that exact group back into a top 15 unit? Because at the very least, they need to be in the top 15. Does adding Jack St. Ivany to the third pairing, does that really become your biggest move personnel-wise on the back end? I don't know how you can expect substantive change if you're not willing to make substantive change on the back end. And that's something that worries me a little bit when you are so committed to bringing back Ryan Graves, and then the other three are pretty much staple gun to where they're going to be at least next season, and then you have the discussions after that. It's interesting. It's certainly interesting that He continues to back Ryan Graves. He's been doing it for months now, so I was not surprised that he did that. But to throw him in with a guy like Tristan Jarry and saying, how do they respond to the season that they've had? Jarry's the goaltending situation is interesting, and we'll dive into this more tomorrow on the Tip of the Iceberg with Nick Horwat. But looking for a response from Jarry after yet another post-January 1 complete and utter breakdown. But also mentioned Joe Blomqvist and the upcoming AHL playoffs for him, and how does he assert himself at that level? That was another phrase that was used a lot over the last week by Kyle Dubas. So how does Joe Blomqvist perform, and is he ready to go at the NHL level at the start of next season? Where does that leave Nedeljkovic? Now, I get it. Nedeljkovic wasn't, you know, the second coming of George Vezina. Like, he wasn't that, but he was winning games. He was battling and giving the Penguins a chance. I think that becomes the story of the summer right there. Do you re-sign Nedeljkovic? does Joel Blomqvist take the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Penguins on a run? Their playoffs start on Wednesday against Lehigh Valley. Does he take them on a run? And is that enough to say, hey, this goaltender that had a tremendous rookie season at the American Hockey League, one of the best rookie seasons the Penguins have ever seen at the American League level, is that enough to bump out Alex Nedeljkovic and try to run it back with a rookie and a guy who is still trying to figure out how to play in January, February, March, and so on? That would be an interesting decision there. But again, he's yet to make any of these decisions. The fact is, he's looking for a lot of bounce backs from a lot of different characters, and that cannot be plan A. And I've said that a couple of times since the season ended, that this can't be plan A and this can't be plan A. Plan A of expecting bounce backs from everybody and running it back with a very similar unit, I don't know how much that's going to help. I don't. Now, they were great down the stretch. They figured it out. But is that enough to warrant making minimal change over the offseason? I don't believe so. I think that what they were doing at the end of the season was great. Do I think it was sustainable over 82? Probably not, because is it sustainable to expect that level of performance from Sidney Crosby over 82 games? It'd be great, but at 37 years old, to go, I believe he went 25 points in the last 13 games, or 27 in the last 13, something ridiculous of that manner. Is that sustainable? Probably not. I'm not gonna bet against him, but probably not sustainable over a full 82 at the age of 37. So I'm intrigued to see which of these players are still on the team come October, and which of these players it was just general manager speak and saying, we're not going to bury this person's stock at this point of the offseason. So something to keep an eye on, something to monitor, but we have a full offseason left to discuss. Obviously, we have a lot to break down from the 2023-24 Penguins. The Stanley Cup playoffs are underway. Very entertaining first 2 days of that. But we will be back tomorrow to talk about all of that and more on the tip of the iceberg. But thank you guys so much for tuning in to Iceberg to Go. Remember, you can find us on YouTube at Inside the Penguins, or anywhere you get your podcast from.